Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. Thanks so much for listening. Today, President Trump could sign the order for steel tariffs and the two new studies about the opioid crisis. Plus, International Women's Day and Amazon Alexa's random laughing. All that and much more in less than 10 minutes. And hang out today after the news for Three Question Thursday. We're talking all about self-driving cars now and in the future. I'm Erica Mandy. Today is Thursday, March 8th. You ready? Let's do this. Today is the day President Trump is expected to sign the order to put pretty big tariffs on steel and aluminum. So an extra tax on imports of those metals coming into the U.S. It's a very controversial move ever since President Trump first brought it up last week. The Wall Street Journal reports more than 100 Republican lawmakers sent an urgent letter to the president asking him to hold up. They want the president to reconsider. The letter says tariffs could have, quote, unintended negative consequences to the U.S. economy and its workers. Remember, the president's top economic advisor also did not like this idea and has since said he's resigning. But before he goes, Gary Cohn was apparently trying to get exemptions for some countries, like our neighbors, Canada and Mexico. Already, European leaders are showing off plans for retaliation. Some White House officials told Fox Business that countries could potentially be taken on or off the list for these tariffs based on negotiations. So more details are expected as soon as today, when the president could formalize this plan. Some mixed reactions from surviving students in Parkland, Florida, when they got a visit from the Trump administration. Yesterday, the education secretary, Betsy DeVos, visited the school where the shooting happened. Some students and student journalists called her out for what they say was just a publicity stunt. They say she dodged serious questions and didn't take time to talk with any of the students. But not everyone agreed with that. Some students felt she deserved more respect since she could have a big impact on what actually happens in schools as education secretary. DeVos did say she thinks arming some teachers in some schools is a good idea, but also with proper training, and she says the issue is not as simple as it's been made out to be. Time reports DeVos also said she wants to go back to the Florida school at another time for longer conversations with the students. Well, it looks like the Weinstein Company is headed for bankruptcy after all. The Wall Street Journal says the potential buyer backed out for a second time. The movie studio Harvey Weinstein co-founded has had a rough road ever since all the accusations against Harvey. An investment company almost saved it to turn it into a new movie studio, but now it probably won't happen. The opioid crisis is only getting worse. You know, opioids, prescription painkillers that can have serious side effects. Think oxycodone. A new CDC report found the number of opioid overdoses in the U.S. has gone up about 30% in just 1 year. The state of Wisconsin saw a 109% increase. And there's more. U.S. News & World Report says a different study found opioids are actually not any better than the over-the-counter stuff like Tylenol or ibuprofen, at least when it comes to dealing with chronic pain. And obviously, Tylenol is a lot safer. So that winter storm in the Northeast brought thunder snow. It's a thing. Pretty rare, though. It's when there's lightning within snowstorms. The Weather Channel says heavy snow and strong winds hit yesterday and are expected to stick around again today in the Northeast. Thousands of flights were canceled across the country because of it. And remember, this is the second winter storm to hit the Northeast in just a week. All right, other things people may be talking about today. It's International Women's Day. It's meant to celebrate women's achievements and encourage people to take action toward gender equality. And it's been around a long time. It was founded more than a century ago in 1908. It started when more than 15,000 women marched in New York City back then, demanding voting rights, better pay, and shorter working hours. The Guardian reports women around the world are getting involved in protests this week, calling for more action and progress. And today, you may notice more people wearing the official color of International Women's Day. It's purple. Companies are also getting involved in a lot of different ways. The Google Doodle, you know, the animation on Google's homepage that often changes, has been featuring women's stories and female artists. And on Google Maps, businesses can now start promoting if they're women-led. But Google has faced lawsuits and investigations about gender discrimination. Oh, and one California McDonald's turned its golden arches upside down so it looks like a W. You may also see that on their social media channels. The company says it's in, quote, celebration of women everywhere. But Eater reports McDonald's has actually been accused of ignoring harassment allegations in the past. Barbie says it's honoring more female role models than ever before, with dolls modeled after women, like Olympic snowboarder Chloe Kim. Amazon's Alexa, you know, the voice assistant to Amazon smart speakers, well, she's apparently started to randomly laugh. BuzzFeed says many people started reporting that they were minding their own business and then suddenly they heard what sounded like creepy human laughter coming out of their Amazon Echoes. But now Amazon is responding to this and trying to clear things up. The company says the voice assistant got confused and would apparently hear what sounded like the command, Alexa, laugh. So they're changing the phrase to something a little longer so it's not so confusing for Alexa. Now you have to say, Alexa, can you laugh, for it to happen. By the way, I apologize to anyone near an Amazon smart speaker right now. I'll stop saying her name now. But stay tuned for when she will be able to play the newsworthy. That should be coming very soon. Uber has self-driving trucks, and the company is now actually using them on the road for customers. Well, let me back up for a minute. There's something called Uber Freight. It's Uber, but for businesses that want on-demand cargo shipping. Truck drivers pick up those calls. Well, Uber also has autonomous trucks. And TechCrunch reports in Arizona, those trucks are working alongside the regular ones for Uber Freight. The self-driving trucks are taking care of the long highway part of the trip, and Uber says this will happen across the U.S. in the near future. And actually, we'll be talking more about self-driving cars and trucks in today's 3 Question Thursday, starting now. So that is it for the main news today, but as I mentioned, it's now time for 3 Question Thursday, where we get some bonus information from a different expert every Thursday. This week, we're talking about self-driving cars. What's happening right now? What should we expect in the future? And what's the real impact on our lives? Joining me with all those answers is Dr. Sean Dubravac. He served as chief economist for the Consumer Technology Association for years, and now he's the president and founder of Astra Insights, which helps other companies deal with technological shifts. He's also the author of a New York Times bestseller called Digital Destiny: How the New Age of Data Will Transform the Way We Work, Live, and Communicate. So let's dive in. Hi, Sean. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hello, Erica. Wonderful to be here with you.
Let's start with what's happening right now. I know that you've written in your articles before that self-driving cars are already being tested in states like California, Nevada, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. So explain a little bit more about what the testing actually looks like right now.
Sure. Really, what we're doing now is acquiring tremendous amounts of data. So we're getting vehicles on the road in self-driving mode. They typically have a driver in the driver's seat, or at least a person sitting in the driver's seat who could take control of the wheel if needed. But for the most part, they're in self-driving mode, which means they're driving autonomously. And we're capturing a tremendous amount of data. So if one vehicle has an incident, maybe it comes to a unique intersection and it's not sure what to do. And as it sorts that out, all of that information is shared to the vehicles in that fleet so that it's as if every single one of those vehicles had already come to that intersection before. That's the beauty of how this technology scales. Today, if a driver approaches a unique intersection, they have to figure it out themselves, and the next driver likewise has to figure it out themselves. Each time is a new experience. But with self-driving vehicles, all of that information is shared.
So what I think everybody wants to know is, what year will self-driving cars actually be standard, or at least we'll see more of them and we'll actually be using them as consumers? When do you expect that to happen?
I mean, to be clear, I mean, we do see them on the road today. We are using them as consumers as part of these pilot projects. In certain parts of the world, you even have driverless shuttles within closed environments, like on campuses or innovation parks. Japan is working very closely on this technology. They'd like to see it used in conjunction with the Olympics when they host it. So we might start to see it there. There's some trucking companies that plan to have it on the open road for at least certain stretches of the open road as early as this year. Most of the auto manufacturers believe that they'll be to what we call level 4 self-driving vehicles by 2020, 2021. And then it's just a matter of uptake. Now, the uptake and adoption always takes longer than we think. I think we're decades away from seeing a time where self-driving cars are standard. But I do think that we'll start to see us utilize self-driving vehicles within the next, say, decade or so. And these might be parts of a service like an Uber or Lyft. They might be part of a transportation network. Again, maybe it's a self-driving vehicle on a college campus or within a certain stretch of the city.
And would you say that people will not actually own their own cars then?
Yeah, I think in that environment, it doesn't make sense to own your own vehicle, but you buy a certain number of hours. Maybe you're utilizing a pooling service.
And when it becomes more common, will we actually get to sit back and enjoy the ride and read and watch TV? Or is it going to be where you still kind of have to pay attention and jump in an emergency?
When we get to fully autonomous, fully self-driving vehicles, they will be drastically different than what we ride in today. They won't have steering wheels. They won't have gas pedals and brakes. All of that will be controlled autonomously by the system. We can customize that environment any way we want. We could put a desk in there so we could work. We could put a bed in there and sleep. We think a lot about the first order effects, but there's tremendous second order effects because all of a sudden, if I can start to use this ride time for other activities, then it might influence where I live. It might influence the type of jobs I take. It might influence where I go on vacation. All of these things are up for grabs, if you will, an environment where the interior of the vehicle is drastically different. I've joked that you could put an infinity pool in there if you wanted to and swim laps on your way into work.
Will the laws and insurance companies be able to keep up?
Laws are definitely looking at these issues now. Clearly, some of the states are leading that charge. California really trying to push open the market for self-driving vehicles. But at the federal level, they're also looking at it. And insurance companies are clearly looking at it as well. This changes some of the traditional insurance paradigms. You might not need traditional insurance if you don't, for example, own the car. Also, it switches liability from consumer liability potentially to producer liability. Rather than the person driving the car, the person at fault might be the one who designed the vehicle, who sold the vehicle, who's operating the system. So all of the insurance dynamics start to shift as these environments shift. And just like the original automobile changed our society, self-driving vehicles will change our society.
And it's my understanding you're a big fan of self-driving cars. You think it's a good idea. It makes sense. You work with the Consumer Technology Association. But tell us why it's such a good thing.
Well, there's a number of reasons. Obviously, we improve safety first and foremost. Roughly 35,000 people die every year in vehicle accidents. About 15% of those come from motorcycle accidents. And so by improving the safety, we can save lives first and foremost. And most of those accidents are caused by human error. I also think it improves our quality of life as we can use those hours more productively, either producing, sleeping, catching up with friends. It changes entertainment significantly, so we can use that time for leisure. Those are just some of the factors.
What would you say to people who worry about maybe jobs like truck drivers, for example, or the dangers of hackers being able to control our cars?
I think all of those concerns are valid concerns. This technology will have pronounced implications for how we live. It's important to, again, recognize that this is probably going to be a relatively slow, orderly progression. You only really notice the shift as you look back over time. Think about something like elevator operators. There was a time when we wouldn't get in an elevator without an operator. It was deemed unsafe. Now, for the most part, almost all elevators, at least here in the United States, are autonomous.
Any final thoughts on the future of self-driving cars?
It's an exciting time. Clearly, we don't know exactly how the future will unfold, but we've seen these technologies percolating on the surface for decades, and now all of the building blocks are coming together. And it's a really exciting time to see the number of manufacturers that are saying, hey, we're just a few years out from being able to deploy this technology. And the next 36 months become very important with how this future will play out, and we're all going to be here to watch it.
Thank you so much for your time.
Great to be here with you, Erica. Thank you.
And you can follow Sean Dubravac on Twitter. It's just his name, at Sean Dubravac. I'll also link to his website in today's show notes, where you'll find several articles about technology today and in the future. Of course, you can also find links to read more about any of the news we talked about in today's episode. Just head on over to thenewsworthy.com. That's thenewsworthy.com. Then click episodes and click on Thursday, March 8th. Thanks so much again for listening. The Newsworthy is ready for you by 4 a.m. Eastern Time each weekday. We'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.
My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with, like, basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.